Welcome back to My Seminary Life. I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, you know, it's been a kind of a heavy run of episodes lately with our trip out to Bundyville. How about this? How about we do something a little bit lighter? Let's talk about a different cult leader. Brandon, that's not lighter. That's not light. What happened to all those sermons that you were talking about? Can we go back to the sermon episodes, please? Said the audience. Yes, we're going to continue. I'm going to continue to torture everybody and talk about a different cult leader, a different new religious movement that was this time, not in the U.S. at least, Brazil. We're talking about John of God here today. This follows after watching a documentary series on Netflix on John of God. This is someone I had never heard of before and was able to do something that even had me worked. Not that I was necessarily like ready to convert and follow this individual, but there was something that comes up that I'm like, okay, but how? How is that happening? So I apologize for my pronunciation of this name, but I want to give it my best go. João Teixeira de Faria, also known as João de Deus or John of God, was a medium and psychic healer who was healing people in the name of Saint Ignatius of Loyola. So, already, very interesting words being said. I'm not referring to his name. That wasn't a name joke. Poor timing on my end with that sentence. Sorry. So, what we have here, just right on the get-go, is an amalgamation of New Age spirituality with a dash of Catholicism. The Catholic Church made sure that everybody understood very, very clearly that they had nothing to do with this guy. They do not condone his practices, as John of God was conducting visible and invisible spiritual healings. So people, he had this medical practice in Brazil that he did eventually take on tour. He did do some stops here in the United States at different points where he would go perform these healings on individuals who were in a situation where they had tried all the other common medical treatments for ailments and kept coming at dead ends by way of getting better, so they decided to come to him instead. So, this is something, although the twisting of New Age spirituality and Catholicism, that may be a newer thing to some people, though that does show up in other places in the United States where you get kind of like a paganism and Christianity blended together. Sometimes Catholicism gets mixed in with like spirituality from like voodoo practices and New Age spiritualism and things like that in other spaces. The general premise here is something that if you have been paying attention to things like the prosperity gospel movement or other cult leaders and their practices like Jim Jones, you have seen a variation of this a little bit, where somebody comes before a spiritual leader and has some kind of physical ailment, and that spiritual leader is able to heal that person by speaking over them some kind of like a prayer or a blessing or something, and that person is healed. You may have heard of this as being called slain in the spirit. Now, I want to make something very clear right here, right now, with this, that spiritual healing, being slain in the spirit, that also does show up in the charismatic church as well. I'm going to let that be. I think that is a different conversation for a different day with different people. What I'm talking about here today are charlatans using spirituality to take advantage of people, because that is ultimately what is going on here within the prosperity gospel, with Jim Jones, and with John of God as well. Basically, you have these situations where there is some kind of big display of you've probably seen some of the reels of like people falling out all over the stage after some kind of like blessing or prayer is being pronounced over the individual and healings are occurring, even though we have these instances with Jim Jones and with other prosperity gospel leaders that there were either plants in the audience, people who were acting to be healed, to put on a spectacle to reaffirm the spiritual leader's power, or the individuals were scouted out ahead of time for individuals who maybe could be worked with better over individuals who actually had very actual like terminal illnesses, for example. There is some of that going on here, was going on here with John of God, kind of this like speaking over, praying over people, him getting connected with St. Ignatius or Jesus in order to heal people, having these a lot of like out of body experiences in order to heal people. And there are a lot of people who profess that they were indeed healed by John of God. There's also a lot of people who attest to sexual abuse as well. So this is obviously the focus of this documentary that I watched on Netflix, which you can go check out after you finish this episode. You have to listen to the episode. That's the rule. We all know that's the rule. You have to listen to the episode first until you finish it before you go check out the documentaries. That's how it works here. The Netflix documentary follows survivors of St. John. In total, there is over 600 individuals, 600 women who came forward to accuse him of sexual abuse, assault, and manipulation over and over and over again, using his place of power and authority to take advantage of people sexually. As a result, he was eventually convicted of his crimes and sentenced to 489 years and 4 months in prison. The 4 months part kind of does it for me a little bit. Multiple life sentences, I think, is comical. Like, I understand the point, and it does. I'm sure for survivors, that feels really good when you hear that somebody is going to be in prison for an absolute ridiculous amount of time. There was some of the survivors did express a bit of disappointment, though. So his conviction took place pretty close to so he turned himself in 2018. So by 2020, he was moved to house arrest due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and presumably is still serving out the remainder of his life under house arrest at this point in time, which some people were expressed disappointment in, that they think, who cares if he's an old man and the pandemic might kill him? Like, he did all of this traumatic stuff to so many individuals. Like, who cares at this point what happens to him? Now, as I mentioned earlier, there was an aspect of his ministry that as a viewer even worked me, because it wasn't just invisible healings, speaking prayers and connecting to people spiritually through ascension to heal them. There was also visible healings. John of God would conduct surgeries where there would still be like a spiritual element, prayers, connection through the spirits with the individual. And then viewer discretion is advised, if you go to check out this documentary, because they do show a lot of this, he would then take a scalpel, a knife, scissors, and shove it up the individual's nose, and there would make a snip, blood everywhere, lots of blood, and then the person would profess to be healed. And obviously, with these kinds of documentaries, the point isn't, and this is a lecture on this individual's faith, theology, and spiritual practices. It comes up here and there, obviously, probably by way of modern documentaries. They probably spend a lot of time on this. I find a lot of modern documentaries kind of like skip past all of the "this is what was taught" part and focus more so on the survivor stories, which probably is proper, but as somebody who just finds the doctrine parts very interesting, I'm like, no, spend like one more episode talking about that stuff, please. I want to understand. And there is, you know, it's never really addressed this fact that he is cutting something and people are being healed, and there's a lot of blood involved. And It left me in a place of like, well, I need some kind of resolution to this, because it does certainly look like something is happening there. You can, again, speaking very specifically of prosperity gospel, healing, in instances like with Jim Jones, you can get away with a lot of stuff in the veins of invisible healing. There's a lot that you can kind of skirt around if everybody is just going to have an adrenaline-filled moment of being slain in the spirit and they're all healed kind of thing. There's a lot that you can dance around. There's not a lot that you can dance around if you're shoving dirty incision-making tools up people's noses and blood is coming out everywhere and people are professing to be healed. So, I had to do some research because I was like, something is happening here. You can see something is going on. What is going on here? Is he actually conducting? Because medicine shouldn't be that simple. People shouldn't be spending, you know, almost a decade in higher education learning how to specialize in surgery of very specific places and medicine and the anatomy and all these things for just some guy who apparently can use psychic forces and St. Ignatius of Loyola and shove something pointy up someone's nose and then heal them. Like, that's not how any of that works. So I had to do some research because my brain was itchy. And I found out, did you know that there are people who are professional skeptics? Not just like your conspiracy theory crazed uncle, but like people who, like, their line of work is to be a skeptic, particularly towards claims of the supernatural, the spiritual, the paranormal. James Randi and Joe Nickel are two examples of professional skeptics, men who spent a good chunk of their life devoted to debunking and providing rational explanation to instances of claims of the supernatural, paranormal, occult, the whole bit. James Randi was actually previously a magician, so somebody who knew and understand the art of misdirection. I love stage magicians. I think in somewhere in the multiverse, I may have ended up becoming a stage magician. And who knows, that probably is still something I could figure out how to make work in my life. But yeah, like, him and Joe Nickel both made an entire career, decades and books and articles, starting institutions devoted to debunking these instances, these claims of supernatural, paranormal, occult situations. Joe Nickel actually did a lot of work disproving the Warrens, of the Conjuring fame and all that stuff. But, just like their demonic exorcist spirituality practices, he did a lot of work regarding them. And they both were able to debunk John of God's medical practices. Even though at one point in time, before all of these accusations came out, everybody and their brother was fascinated and he was celebrated by news reporters. Oprah Winfrey put John of God over. But eventually it was proven that what was going on was not anything medically professional, spiritual whatsoever, and the results were nothing more than a placebo effect for the individual who received the healing. Now, a very specific word came up as I was researching, like, okay, what these guys had to say about John of God, you know, doing his medical work, they called it a carnival trick. And I thought that was just like a cutesy way to like really tear down what this guy was doing. No, seriously, this is an old carny trick that this guy is doing. Apparently, if you are not a medical expert or a carny for some reason, you don't know this very important fact that when you insert something up your nose, there is a sinus cavity not too far up, and it bleeds really easily if damaged. I'm no medical expert, but as somebody who did get the very invasive COVID-19 test, I'm assuming it's that sinus cavity that they scrape for the COVID test that they are referring to, because in case you didn't get that one, boy, does that hurt, and nothing, like, no blood even came out of my nose on that one, but boy, howdy, did that hurt. It felt like somebody was scratching my brain. Why carnies were doing this trick at one point in circuses, I have no idea, but apparently this was, like, a medical bit that they would do. I think it was called the blockhead or something like that, where you would go up and you make a little cut. It's actually not that far up either, but you would go up, make a little cut, and it would produce a lot of blood for whatever this very strange sketch was supposed to be in circuses. I'm very happy that this fell out of practice. And these two professional skeptics were able to prove that this is actually what is going on. There is no actual medical practices going on or some secret, hidden like healing technique or, a special connection to the spirits in order to make this surgery work. It's a trick. That is it. And obviously, it's a pretty effective trick because I consider myself to be a fairly smart, educated individual. I've seen the hokey healing stuff of like the prosperity gospel and Jim Jones variety, but even that one had me stumped a little bit of like, okay, but what is going on there? And although I was not, I wasn't ready to like convert and declare John of God this like amazing healer who's, and becoming one of these like blended spirituality Catholic type people who followed him, I think this does reveal something very important that is often discussed when the topics of cults come up. And I think could even be brought into a discussion of why certain kinds of people end up in situations of power and authority that they then use for abusive purposes. Because one question that comes up in cult conversations is how could somebody fall for this? How could somebody get sucked in to a cult? And the topic of brainwashing kind of gets muddled. This used to be like a big thing that people all really adhered to, that like everyone's just brainwashed. But the more time I spend learning about cults, mostly through watching documentaries and listening to podcasts, but the more time I spend learning about cults, in hearing the stories from the people on the inside who were a part of it, who either still believe or have gotten out of it, one thing you will learn is that you really shouldn't question how, because part of that is an assumption that somebody is really dumb, and that very intelligent people get involved in cults. Very successful people get involved in cults. It's not like a low IQ thing whatsoever, though it does seem like many people who get brought into cults are people who are either in a situation in life where they are maybe vulnerable, kind of directionless, or spiritually maybe a little too open or curious at times. I think a big lesson that can be gleaned from this documentary I watched on John of God, seeing how it even tricked me a little bit on how some of these healings, quote, healings were taking place, I think this really does show that anyone is susceptible. Anyone is susceptible to the confidence of a leader. I don't even want to just leave this at anyone is susceptible to the confidence of a cult leader. Anybody is susceptible to the confidence of a leader, period. You don't have to necessarily be a cult leader in order to get into a leadership position where you have a lot of power and influence and you're using it for your own personal gain. There just has to be a part that is just convincing enough to intrigue the individual, at least from an entry point standpoint. So I also have the show Kung Fu Pizza Party, and given the kind of content I make over there, I get occasionally some menosphere content, red pill, very toxic masculinity style content, more so response. But when you engage with people responding to it enough times, you start getting the actual source material. And one thing I have noticed with Metasphere content, especially when people are kind of pitching their ideas or their coachings or their whatevers, is that the setup and the punchline, I'll be like, no, 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 that's all toxic. That's bad advice. Stop it. Stop having bad advice. Stop luring men away, young men, into very toxic ways of living. But then, and this isn't true of every reel, but I've seen it enough times to comment on it, there will be something in the middle. Something in the middle that the individual will say that will even make me go, okay, well, you got a little bit of a point there. I could see where you're coming from there. The rest could be very toxic or in the realm of cult, maybe a little confusing at first because, you know, cults, like all religions, kind of speak their own language, have their own terminologies, the whole bit. It is a whole different way of thinking about spirituality and religion and whatnot. But it could be all of that. It could be confusing. It could be toxic. It could be whatever. But there could be a little splash of, I see what where you're getting at there. It could be a little splash of truth, or just captivating enough, or interesting enough, or in the case of the leader, like engaging or bombastic enough that makes you go, okay. And I think that is a big key to this, especially when it comes to that question of how could somebody fall for a cult leader or fall for an abusive leader. I think part of the conversation, you have to remember that there may just be enough of a hint of truth or enough of a hint of captivating the audience that makes an individual go, tell me more. And so you are not better, you are not smarter, you are not more or less, I should say, you are not less gullible than anyone else. Because if this documentary can even make me go, but wait, he's doing a medical thing, how stop, stop. Something is happening here. Somebody explain to me what's going on here. If I didn't do the research, I would have been forever left with this thought of like, but like, how? How is he doing these things? Turns out it's an old carny trick. They worked me just like they did as a kid, just like pro wrestlers used to work me as a kid. They worked me on this one, folks. And if I could be worked, and if you could be worked, anyone could be worked. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend. And check out the other great shows here on the Anazal Ministries Podcast Network, like Let Nothing Move You, The Bible After Hours, Theology on the Rocks, and my sister show, Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. You can also check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. This is Brandon signing off, reminding you as always that theology is for everyone, so keep on studying.